Do you ever have unexplainable weird things happen and you just wonder, is there something around here that I can't see that's doing these weird things? Weird stuff. Like, I got up this morning and there, wait a minute. Remind me about, I just got distracted. I realized what I had in my hands. Zingers. Now, these are one of my most common failings in life. There's something about them, and I don't know, I've just always had this thing. And a box of zingers, it's like kryptonite. I don't know. But I'll gonna get back to this. Wow. This is great. You know how to open this? Yeah. Can you open that for me? Thank you. While he's opening that, I got up and put on my glasses. And how does this happen, right? They were fine before I went to bed. I was reading. I put them down. I got up, put them on, and they were like this, totally bent. And that's like, how does that happen? I mean, that's weird, isn't it? And they were just fine. I'm reading, and then I get up this morning, and thanks. You want one? Here. Yeah, thank you for opening for me. Y'all want one? Hey, you want one? Come on. You want one? They're good. Yeah. You want one? Okay. Anybody else want one? Yeah. Anybody? You want one? You want one? You're a big kid. Anybody else? Anybody want one? You want one? I appreciate these. And, you know, I'm addicted to them. And I would never eat in front of everybody except when there's zingers. Eat one. They're good. Those are really good. Making you hungry? Yeah.
Well, since 1970s, I remember.
They've been around that long? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
The same box. The same
time. Well, who brought those? Thank you. Did you try it? Did you eat it already? Oh, I thought you ate it. Yeah, is it good? Yeah, good. Is it good? Everybody like it? Oh, yeah. All right. Nothing like a zinger. We're going to ruin them. We're going to want zingers now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't believe the older kid back there is eating one. Other children here would have wanted to have one, but you ate it. Oh, let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, can you believe it? We're going way over. They're on my little Bible cover there. That was given me some time ago, and it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I was thinking about that in preparing this message, and Patsy gave me that, a couple of years ago, right? Or more. Yeah, somewhere in there. And I've got one or two Bibles that's so big they won't fit in there, but the others fit fine. And I carried a lot, and I thought, and the Lord put this message on my heart, and it was just like, and I just titled it "The Joy of the Lord," and what it's really about is, hey, we've got to come to a place in life where we learn to have the joy of the Lord and what it's about. And there's some junk we got to let God deal with so we can have His joy. And I mean, God has enough miserable Christians. He needs a few of them that are joyful. You know, that can be happy about something. And if you base it on what this is around you, you're not going to be happy at all. I mean, listen to the news. What are you happy about? And one covered up thing after another, one crooked thing after another. I mean, and I'm not just aiming a point the finger at just one person or anything. It just seems like everywhere. It's just, you know, every time you turn around, it's this group and this agency or this political source or whatever, and over and over and over, and it's like, is there anything good? Yes, there is. You have to keep your focus. I have to keep my focus. I get out there where I'm at, and I, you know, and one of the things I've been warned about for a long time is, and Becky, your dad used to get on to me. He'd say this. He said, Tony, you get along too much, you get into your head too much, and you start analyzing too much. And her dad, Jim, we were great, great close friends. But he'd tell me, you get into your head. Any of you ever do that? And you just get in your head and you analyze and you think you think it too much. You just think too blasted much. And I do that. I have a tendency to do that kind of thing, and I lose my joy. I just start, because one of my questions is, why? Why is this going on? Do you ask yourself that? Why is it being allowed? What is the purpose in all this? And I'm trying to find it. I'm just trying to understand. And then it takes your joy. So in Nehemiah's day, people, oh, it was terrible. And then he's sent to help the people of Israel, the remnant that's left over there. And they've been taken captive. And there's a remnant. And it's awful. And then he reads them the law. He begins to read the law, and when they begin to read the law, the people begin to cry. They hadn't heard it in so long, and they felt so bad about all the stuff that happened to them and all their own sins, and it was just bad. And they begin to weep, and then suddenly he's telling them, and we're taking two places here, verses 2 and 3, and then verse 10. We combine those and read the whole thing. I don't know, it's probably been a while since we read Nehemiah, but read this in here. And all the people gathered, you know, and all this, and Ezra the scribe, he's reading the law of the book of Moses. They haven't had it. They've just been a remnant out there, destitute. And suddenly, here's Nehemiah and Ezra, and they're reading the book of the law. And it was God's word to them. So let me read these two verses, and then we'll move to the other verse. But chapter 8 of Nehemiah, verse 2, then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Okay, you're saying, okay, that's great. What significance is that? Hold on. And then he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And here's the key. It says, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Whatever translation, I have the New American Standard here that I'm using for this one today. You may have a different translation, and it may say all the people paid attention, all the people were, you know, whatever. But the point is, this is the key to those first two verses. They paid attention. They really were attentive to the law. The problem that we have, and I see we have many problems in Christianity today, but one of them is we get so numb to the scripture. We get so used to hearing it, it numbs us. And we're not attentive to it. We don't hear it. There's noise, but we're not hearing with a listening heart. Let's put it that way. The people here were so hungry for the word of God that they really, really heard it. They were attentive. In other words, they were all leaning forward into this thing, hanging on every word. And in Christianity today, and not saying you, but in Christians in general, what do you hear most Christians, when you ask a Christian, they say what church you go to, and they'll tell you, what's often the first thing they say? You know, if you ask them, what do you really like about your church? And they say, oh, it's the music. You know, and never, they don't mention hardly ever the preaching or the teaching or anything. It's the music. And what about the music? It just makes me feel good. I just get all excited. So it's all about you. That's what they're saying, right? It's all about me. I come and I get all excited. If somebody could get up here and play a guitar and a keyboard, I'd think once in a while, wouldn't it be nice to have some keyboard music or something? Believe me, I'm not against that. I've had trouble once in a while with musicians, and to say the least, and had to kill one or two. But you know, they straightened up after that. I shouldn't say things like that. This goes out to, I did not do that. Just thought of it. Anyway, but I'd like to have that. It's just a change. And we do this here because we can't find anybody. And so you'll know if you've ever asked, how come we don't have somebody? Because we can't find anybody who'll do it for the Lord. They want $400, $500, $600 a Sunday morning to play four songs. That's why. And that's hard for us. But so if you know or you pray and someone has really got some talent and want to do that, great. Hey, you know, if they'll not, you know, charge us, you know, a fortune to do it, you know, to do it for the Lord, and we'll give them some gas money or help. We're not poor, but we don't have that kind of money. Anyway, that's the problem we run into. So I don't know. It just wasn't in the notes to explain that, but it kind of came up in my mind. And so if you ever wondered, that's why we don't. And anyway, so if you know someone and they're saying, I'd just love to play for the Lord, and they got a little talent, and hey, we'll work it in. But back to this, the people were so long, they were hungry. And I think maybe we're not hungry for the Word, we're hungry for entertainment. We're hungry for feel good. So many everywhere, not just Christians, everybody everywhere. You know, if it doesn't make me feel good, I don't want it. I don't want to do it type thing. They were attentive to the book of the law. Then let's work over to verse 10. Just don't have time to read all this, I'd like to. Then they were crying. They were grieved because they saw how far they'd fallen and all that was going on. And the Lord said, he said to them, now the Lord through Nehemiah said to them, go eat of the fat. Don't you like to hear something like that? Don't you want somebody to tell you to go eat of the fat? I do. I tell you what, on a piece of steak or something with some fat that's kind of crusted on the outside, I know the whole world says it's not good for you, but if I cut that off with a piece of that meat and put it in my mouth, everything in me screams, oh, it's good for you. It tastes good. Don't you like that a little bit? And I like when you get a little bit of, you know, with some barbecue, and if there's a little bit of fat on the brisket, you know, people say, I want the lean. I hear them order the lean. It's like, I don't want the lean, that dry. Give me some of that good, greasy stuff. If it's not dripping off the end of your fingers when you eat it, friends, you're not getting the real thing. And you say, but my cholesterol and all of this. And I'll quote what our doctor says at the VA. You got to die something. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, these people had been starving. Get the background? And so when he said, go eat of the fat, so we got food, you know, and go eat of the fat. You're not going to just get the leftovers. Eat of the fat. What he was saying, you're going to eat like kings today. And drink of the sweet. He said, you're not going to have bitter stuff anymore. Today, you're going to eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And friends, regardless of what else was said, the rest of this message, don't be grieved. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And maybe you just need to be getting a little more of the fat of the Scripture. Are you staying a little lean with the Word of God? And maybe they used to call it, get some of the drippings. They didn't say it that way. They said, give me some of the drippings. You know, you don't eat anything with, you know, properly. And I want some of the drippings. And maybe you need a little bit of that with Scripture. You following me? We sometimes stay with the verses, the same verses that we know. And we read them over and over. We pray them over and over. Why don't you get in and read something else and get some more fat of the Scripture? You're getting a little lean with the same verses all the time. Add some more. Read something different. And get the fat of the Word. And get a little bit of fat of the life. You know, well, we'll get to this. because you put these together. And by the way, just jot down Psalms 139, 14, and read all the rest of it. Really, just put 13, okay? But it says, even you have formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb, and I'll give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, you know, and my soul knows it very well. Read the rest of it. I just threw that in. It's up there, but why? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why don't you be glad about it? You say, I've always had this thing on my face. And why is that? I don't know. God planned it for you to have it. I don't know why I did it. Maybe everybody wants an old Kirk Douglas chin, right? You got that? Remember that, what he had right there? Right in his chin. I didn't ever want it. It looked like somebody shot him right there across the chin. But, you know, but we want these things. And then there's always been that little glamour mark, right, on places. If you don't have one, why make? Don't make up one. Just be happy with yourself. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and sometimes we need to sit down. All these commercials, my Lord, if everything worked they put on there, we would all be in the movies. We'd be runway models. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's made out of cucumbers, grasshoppers, grass, alfalfa. I saw one last night, hyaluronic acid. And that's good for you, by the way, if you take it. Rubbing it on your skin probably won't do a thing. But if you believe it does, a lot of times if you just think something works, it'll work. That's what they're counting on. But friends, it's more of the Word of God. You don't just think something. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it says, my soul knows it very well. You can go on and read what I didn't read. My frame was not hidden from you, Lord, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. You need to read this stuff. It's about you. This is what God says, how He made you. He made you and formed you in the secret part. You're no accident. Somebody can say, well, my birth wasn't planned. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. So people say, it was that you were an accidental birth. No, you weren't. God saying He formed you in the inward parts. He planned you. We get so caught up on how we got here instead of the one who put us here. I don't care how I got here. I honor the one who put me here. Now I want Him to add a few years. You know, let me hang around a while. I've still got some things I believe I'm supposed to do. But do you get all this settled in your mind? So God wants you, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and He wants you to let Him be your joy and quit frowning all the time. Doggone it. Why do you have to be such a sourpuss? You know, some people just enjoy just raining on everybody else's day. They're just sourpusses. And that's an old archaic term, but I just can't get into the gaslighters and whatever else there is out there. That doesn't work. To say you're gaslighting me doesn't do it. And that works for somebody else. You know, does it sound real masculine to you, real manly to walk up and say, you're gaslighting me? That doesn't work for me. God, is that the best we can do? I don't know, you know, and I hear, if I hear a guy say that, don't say that to me, okay? I don't want to think bad of you. You say, Tony, don't gaslight me. You mean, don't shoot you a lot of bull? Don't blame me for everything in my life? You know, just call it like it is. But anyway, I've been on that already before. That's just my thing. That's a soapbox thing. So first of all, if you want to have the joy of the Lord, you're going to have to let God help you with you. And I've settled this right here. God is not going to go out and take off the earth. He's not going to kill the people that you are blaming for your misery. God is not a contract assassin. He doesn't hire. He doesn't hire people. He doesn't send His angels to do that until there's appointed time and things are going to happen. They have done some things in the past, but don't count on it. So you're going to have to let God deal with you. How can I put this but bluntly, okay? Let me say this. Friends, if you're going to have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you're going to have to get over yourself. You're going to have to, and it's not that you mean it. It's not that you sit in, you live every day or come here in church or anything else. It's not that you walk in and you say, it's all about me. It's about me today. No, you're not saying that. It's just that things have happened to you that's caused you to be so self-focused, self-centered, you don't even know it. But everybody else around you does. And you're just going to have to learn, get over yourself. What you should have been, what you could have been, shoulda, woulda, coulda, that's the past. And the question is, what are you now? I look back on some things, I'm thinking, God, if you had to call me in the ministry, there's some other things I wanted to do. I don't know if you remember, but there was one time when I was really being pushed to run for city council there in San Antonio because they wanted me to work up to run for a state office. And friends, I was faced with that. And it was a very credible thing. This wasn't some whim. You remember that kid? And I mean, I had some big, you know, and that's when I met with the vice president at the time of the United States. They all came down. I met with Dole, met with all those people, and was really into that. You remember that, Beck? Yeah, all that stuff. And I had to, there was a place. Are you going to go that way? Are you going to go this way? Now, you know, it's like, would you have been elected? Would you make, I don't know. They thought I could at the time, and I met with these senators and the whole thing. And then, but I began to realize with every meeting, it wasn't anything overt or direct, but something, I felt like something I was having to trade to get the support. Your loyalties, it wasn't just said overtly at the time, but it was implied. But I waited and I waited and I worked with it, and it really was a big thing, and I was very involved in the whole thing, and pastor and church same time, and there was just that place where God worked it. No, do I ever look back on that and say, where would I have landed? Wouldn't you? But woulda, shoulda, coulda. I certainly had a lot more money, and I had a whole different thing, and I'm not saying any of this at all for any reason except to say, we come to those places, those crossroads in life. I've got a message titled Crossroads, and that I brought it some years ago. I might bring it again sometime and revised and reworked, but friends, we make those decisions, and it was like, no, God's called me. I've got to do it. Knowing at the time, then you'll probably never have the profit, the finances, whatever that you would have had. And then now, with the way things are, I'm thinking, oh God, I wish I had that influence in the state or the federal, the Senate, the House, wherever, to do something different. Or would I have just compromised and sold out? I want to think I wouldn't, but you never know till you're there, do you? You just don't ever know. You can say you think, you say you know, but you don't. So you got to, I had to make that decision, so here I am. I say that to say to you, you can't go back, and I can't go back, and there's times I see things and things, and I thought, if I was in the House, if I was in the Senate, at least I'd make a big stink about this. They would hear about it before we voted. And God is saying, but you didn't, because that's not where I led you. So you're going to cry over it? You're going to sit here and say, I wish I woulda, coulda, shoulda? Are you? How long are you going to sit in remorse or in guilt, in defeat, frustration, depression over what coulda, woulda, shoulda been? Are you going to let it go and get over yourself and accept what is? And be who God put you here to be right now. And you might say, yes, but what if I really did miss God's calling? Do you think God has put you on the outside of the camp because you missed His calling? He'll give you something else to do. You think God is just a one-way street God? That just there's one thing, and if you miss it, there's been many a person missed their calling. Many have come back to that calling. Others realize it's too late for the education or whatever to do, to blah, blah, blah. And God's saying, I'll fulfill it another way. God never quits. Why are you? And why do you sit there worried? So somebody left you. Somebody broke up with you. Somebody divorced you. Somebody went out on you. Okay. You're going to let them keep winning? By being depressed over it? They're winning every moment that you're down because they're not down. You ever think about it? The sorry dog's out there having a great time. I thought you'd laugh at that. That's what I call them. You know what I'm saying? Why do we sit in remorse and beat ourselves up and just, in life and we have no joy of the Lord in our heart because of what somebody did to us or maybe what we did to them? Okay, you could have, should have, would have. It happened. Bring it to God and let God help you with it. Get over it. Get over yourself. Just roll with it. I tell people, when this kind of thing comes up, which it does so often in people's lives, and everybody, we have something that we coulda, woulda, shoulda. And what do I end up finally having to tell them? Look, you got to learn to roll with it. So you stole. So you committed adultery. So you had a child out of marriage or whatever it is. Roll with it. You think God's sitting up there saying, oh, I just can't wait to get you. Me too. That's the same. Thank you very much. Now that, see, that was a good one. Let me see if I can say another one. That made her happy. Okay. Is he saying that? Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's not saying I'm going to get you, but Jesus is. And Jesus is saying, oh, I want so much to get you. I want you to come to me and accept me. I want to live in your heart. That's the getting I want to get. That's what Jesus is saying. I want your soul. I want your heart. I'm not looking at what you did. I'm looking at what you can become in and through me. Is there anybody here that hasn't done? You know what I mean? Is there anyone here that hasn't just done it to somebody? Or had it done to them? Whatever it may be. God is looking at you saying, I hear you. I get it. But I've got a mission for you right now. I have a future for you. Let it go. Get over yourself. Just get over yourself. Quit stressing over what coulda, shoulda, woulda. Accept who you are. Just accept it. Roll with it. Deal with it. There's a lot of people, a number of people that are angry at God for making them like they are, for letting things happen in their lives. Is anybody here angry at God that he let something happen? Be honest. Have I ever been angry at him for letting something happen? Yeah. Yeah. If we're honest, we have, yeah. Sure, thank you. And others of us. You know, the truth is, I look back on most everything, and in one way or another, God, if you can put it this way in human terms, he was doing everything but knocking me in the head to say, don't do that. And I didn't want to hear him. Sometimes we'll say, God, if this is, I've heard, and people have said this to me, said it to me many times, Tony, I said, God, if you don't want me to do this, stop me. And my response is, what's he supposed to do? Kill you? Yeah, I mean, really, we're not puppets. We're not robots. We have a will. We have to listen to him. We have to do what the people were doing. Be attentive to God. Listen to him. Look at the signs. Look at what your friends are saying. Look at people. I mean, if everybody around you is calling him or her, you know, saying, oh, they're a snake in the grass. They're awful. She's this. She's that. And you're going, no, they're so nice to me. So is the devil. He comes as an angel of light. And God is showing you, listen to what people are saying. I mean, really, truly. Listen, if any of you have a date, if you're going to date somebody, bring them to me. Just bring them to old dad, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, see, yeah, no. Bring them to dad. Really, truly, think about it. We could stay out of a lot of trouble, no matter what age you are now, stuff you've done, if you'd have just said, let me see what my parents really think of this person. Bring a guy and let him spend a little time with dad. Yeah, so if you really want to make sure, bring him to me. You just bring him to me. Yes. I walk out in that camo and that big sidearm on there. And there's nothing like just spinning it around, playing with some bullets, saying, glad to meet you, boy. Anyway. We get mad at God for allowing things when he was telling us, listen, if you ask God to show you, he will. But remember this, he will, but he won't make you listen. He wants you to choose to be attentive. That's why we started with those verses. And that's why we mess up so many times. Listen to him. He speaks in usually a very small, right, still voice, and you got to pay attention. Quit measuring yourself against other people. Measure yourself against God. Measure yourself against what the Word says for you. And you say, well, I can't measure myself against God. Well, I'm just a peon. God says, you are the most wonderful, beautiful of his creation. You are so wonderful and beautiful to him. He loves you so much, he'll die for you. He loves you so much, he'll rise again and live for you. And he loves you so much, if you let him and ask him in, he'll live in you and through you. Measure yourself against that. And he'll be your friend forever. He'll never let you down. You measure yourself against people, you'll never be happy. I got to move on. You have a place and a purpose. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here. Discover it and get on with it. If you enjoy people, then enjoy people. If you like being alone, then sit down and write. You ever thought about it? Write some things others that'll help other people. Send them text messages, anything. Find out what God's gift you to do, and it's always to glorify him, help his people. So find out what that is and do it. Me? Everybody knows what I do. You know, talking to people, with people, being around them. That's what I do. That's my thing. I'd rather talk to someone in person than have to write them or do something. You know, I say write, you know what I mean, text or email. That is frustrating to me. And not that I won't, a part of it is, I can't do my thumbs like the rest of you do it. Does anybody have that issue? Where you just whip out, yeah, a text or that, just blah, 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 and you just, I watch her, I watch Chrissy a lot of times, just, and I'm thinking, and then you inevitably hit the wrong thing, you got to, you know, X that out, and then you, and that's something else I don't like. I'll get over it. I got to get this message done. I just hate it when the phone tells me the word I want to use, and I'm not wanting to use that word. You ever say to the phone, don't tell me what to say? So that's why if you text me, you might get a call from me because I just don't like doing that. Anyway, you have a place. So why don't you get over yourself and allow God to forgive you for the guilt and the false guilt. If God, look, God forgives you when you ask him. Does everybody agree with that? Do you really? Then why do you keep feeling guilty? That's called false guilt. You confess your sins and yet you just keep feeling guilty. What? God's washed that away. It said, if I confess my sins, that's in 1 John, if I confess my sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and do what? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's done. And where does he take my sins? It says he removes them from us as far as the east is from the west, and he casts them in the depths of the sea. They're gone, buddy. They're out. They're gone. So why you keep feeling guilty? Get over yourself. One other thing and we'll move on. If you're not happy with you, you're sure not going to be happy with anybody else. When you find someone who's just down on everybody else, they can't wait to find something wrong with somebody else, you can just be guaranteed they're miserable with themselves. You just want to say, what happened to you that you can't get over? What happened in your childhood, in your life, in a marriage? What was it? Give God your hurt and give Him your failures. And I'll tell you something else you need to give God. Give Him your successes. Today's a new day. It doesn't matter what plaques you have and what titles and all this. What matters is today. Honor anybody, and God knows we honor someone. You've been there, done that. That's fantastic. But who are you today? Today is the day the Lord has made. Isn't that what it says? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And by the way, when are you going to accept God's forgiveness so you can forgive everybody else? You hear me say this a lot because I hear it a lot. I'm still mad at so-and-so. I just can't let go of what happened. Let it, get over it. Go on. You want to defeat that other person? Then get over it. And they can't control you anymore with what they did. And don't try to be other people's conscience. You with me? We try to be the conscience of other people. We want them to think like we think, feel guilty about what we think they ought to feel guilty about. You ever do that? Try to be somebody else's conscience? Well, you shouldn't be doing that. I can't believe you can't believe you ate that. It'll be their conscience. Let God deal with it. It's time to stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and start paying attention to what you're doing. What does Scripture say about that? You say, this is not coming out of some counseling book. My counseling is from the Bible. All of it is. What does God say? He says, why worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your own? And don't be somebody else's conscience and let me get that little speck. I don't like that little habit you got there. We all have habits. We talk about that all the time. If I told you all the things, you'd be so focused on all my little quirks. You probably are already, being up here week after week. There's things I do. I don't watch myself. You know, people say, do you ever listen to your own messages? No. Are you kidding? Because I wouldn't hear anything. You know what I'd be doing? Why did you pull on your ear? Why did you do this? Why? And I've had some people say, Tony, why do you pull on your shirt? It's not these. When I wear a shirt, you know, over the t-shirt, you know, that open thing, I'm pulling on it. I don't know why. And I don't want to watch that because I'll be so self-conscious. I won't be able to preach. That's why I don't like those open shirts. I want to tuck them in. Next time I think I will. Just to defy fashion. Just to be me. Stop worrying about other people. Don't be their conscience. You know, why do you care if they eat certain ice cream or not? You ever catch yourself with those little quirky things and you're judging somebody else? You ever said, ooh, I can't believe you eat that. See, I do that. If somebody's eating tuna casserole, I will say it instantly, ooh, wow, why are you eating that? Death will immediately follow this meal for you. Isn't that being somebody's conscience? Just because I don't like it, you're not supposed to like it? But others would say to me, ooh, why are you eating sardines? Why are you eating Spam and mustard? There's just something about fried Spam with mustard on it, and I like it where it's just crunchy on the outside. You know, just, and it's like, oh. Probably some people not listening anymore. So how do you have the joy of the Lord? Let go of all this stuff. And start paying attention to what you need to be and who God put you here to be. And let God deal with other people. He knows how to handle them. Even if there's some sinful things, our job is to put the word out there and love. And then let God deal with them. Give Him time. Now learn to hear. I'm going to close this real quick. But learn to hear people. Learn to hear God, but hear them. You got to learn to listen. And you know what? Listening requires humility. You ever thought about it? You got to be humble. You got to be humble in your heart to listen to somebody else and not try to top their story. Guys, we're real bad about that. You know that, don't you? We just can't let another guy have his moment. You know, some guy can say, I went fishing and I caught a fish that big. And there's something within us that says, oh, that's great. You know, when I was fishing down offshore and I caught that, well, I can't, he was bigger than this. And it's and we just do that. Let me share something with you. Really hear people and let everyone have their moment. Their story might be so insignificant to you, but if it's huge to them, that's all that matters. Now listen to this. You hear me say over and over, if it matters to you, it matters to God. If my story about whatever my life is, wherever I've been, God's interested in that story too. He never tries to top it. He lets me have my moment. And then reminds me that He's the one that provided whatever, that He gave the victory, that He provided everything. And it gets it in perspective. But friends, let everybody have their day. God lets you have your day. You know, it's interesting. We brag on ourselves so much and our accomplishments. We're not supposed to do that, but He lets us, and He lets us have our day. Isn't that interesting with God? When it should be all about Him, but He says, okay, go ahead, have your moment. And we'll talk about this later. So let somebody feel good about whatever little accomplishment they have, no matter how puny it seems to you. Encourage people to share their story. No matter, listen, what you have to face or confront in life, do this for everybody to honor God. Wrap it with encouragement. Let all that you do be done in love, and wrap it with encouragement. Encourage everybody you can encourage. Even if they act like they don't need it, we need it. I need encouragement. I get encouragement sent to me. And I appreciate it. Those cards you gave me for my birthday, man, I needed it. I needed it. There's been some other things. I mentioned the fellow that's real sick and trying to work out what he wants for his funeral service. But also, there have been other things and other people hurting, and I take it on too much. You think I've learned by now, but I still take on people's problems too much, and I worry about them. I worry about you. I care so much about what happens to you. I want you to be well. And I'll share this with you. I want you to be well, and I can't make you well. I want you to be all right, and I can't make you all right. I want you to be so filled with the Spirit, and I can't cause that. All I can do is give this word and pray with you and listen to you. And I can. That's my part. But God, He's the one that's got to do that. Do you ever get frustrated because you just can't touch somebody and they're well? I want the power to do that. Now, you want to be happy and joyful, be a good giver. Luke 6, you can write this down. Don't worry, we're closing. I'm gone too long. Luke 6:38, it says, give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, running over without measure. It says people will give back. God will see to it that it's given, pressed down, running over. Whatever you give is going to be given back, bushel after bushel over what you gave. Always give. Be a giver. Just practice giving. Give and give and give. Be a good giver. Just give. Give, even if it's little zingers. Eggs. Bottle of water. Just give. Because God is a giving God, and He put it in all of our hearts to give, and it gives us joy to give. Just so keep giving. I'm giving you some practical stuff here, and I gotta wrap this. So let me close with all this with this right here. Have you ever thought that God wants you to be enjoyable? He wants you to be a person that's fun, that others like being around. Uh, You ever run into people that you just don't want to be around them? They're just so snarly, critical. Their expression alone just makes you want to crawl in a corner, hide. God wants you to be a person that people just, they just get a joy from being around you. You play and you joke, you make them happy. You know, you represent the Lord in a fine, encouraging way, and people are drawn to it. Regardless of your temperament, even if you're an introvert, it'll be harder for you, but just let God use you to just others to be enjoy being around you. It gives you such an opportunity to minister to them. Aren't you drawn to happy people? Not nutty happy people, but happy people. You're just drawn to people that exude energy, and the joy of the Lord just comes out of them. And so be a person that's fun to be around. Say something good to everybody. Find something to compliment with everybody you meet. Compliment their ink pen, their hair, if they have any. You can find something. Let God have the spotlight through it. And then last, be God's blessing to other people. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when I've turned all this, let go of all these things, I turn my life over to the Lord, I'll let His joy be my strength. I'm fun to be around. I'm a giver. And I'm God's blessing to other people. It says, Ephesians 2:4, just write this down. Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building other people up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet, be a blessing to them. A new command, Jesus said, I give to you, that you love one another. That's all this is wrapped into that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let it be. Let it go. Get over it. Get over yourself. And just get out there. And look. Hey, tomorrow is actually my birthday. Tomorrow is the birthday. I'm going to eat 2 or 3 of those things and feel real sick half the day. Yeah, just going to. But the closer, and my point with that is as you move along, you don't think about this when you're younger, but as you move along, you realize I need to put as much as I can into life. I need to make as many people happy as I can. I need to be encouraging as I can. I need to do everything I can do. That's my mission. That's my purpose. And I see that in my life. I'm just almost suddenly being driven. I've got to do more. I want to encourage more. I want to help more. I want to do everything I can to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. It's either that or sit around and stuff myself with potato chips. You know what I mean? And just say, well, it's coming, the inevitable. When the inevitable comes, I want to be out there rocking and rolling, and God can just say, son, I can't stop you, so I'm plucking you out, okay? That's right. But I'm not going to lie there and wither away, and neither should you. Get out there and get with it and encourage, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and just give and give and give and be who God put you here to be, and let's get on with this thing, right? Jesus came to give us life, and I think I lost my mic, but Jesus came to give us life and give it in abundance. So, there we are. Father, we thank you for your word, the goodness and the greatness of it. We thank you that even when we blunder and fumble and, oh, wow, with all of our stuff, there you are. You're saying, get up, come on, roll with it. What coulda, woulda, shoulda, doesn't matter now. What matters now, confess these sins and let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. There's life to live. There's people to see. And I'm your God to glorify every moment of every day. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lead us to do just that always in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I went a little long, sorry, but God bless you for being here with it. All right, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Take this time.